Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. This is the Galactic History Show. I'm your host, Chris Hales. Welcome. Welcome to all the people in the chat. I can see a few people waving hello, so hi there. Chat's filling up very rapidly today. And it's, again, another cool, clear, well, I think it's clear. It's very dark outside here still. We're just coming into the start of spring. It's just touching on 6 a.m. for me here in Melbourne. Andrew, however, whom I'll bring in right now, Andrew Bartsis, the Galactic Historian, is actually coming to us live from Venice Beach. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Chris. Live from Venice Beach, California. I'm 100 yards away from the beach.
Fantastic. And have you actually hit the beach yet, Andrew? Have you been down
yes.
there taking
yes,
the
I
sights?
Have. I went down to the boardwalk. I went down to the Sidewalk Cafe. I had some wonderful dinner there. Had a really great bottle of wine with a very good friend here, and we had some outstanding people that live next door over here that I say thank you very much. You had some wonderful conversations. I know that they're listening today, mm-hmm. and I want to thank for all the other people that are listening that helped me out while I was up here, and for the people that I was giving treatments to also. It's been a unique pleasure to be involved in the energies in Los Angeles. Thank you very much.
There you go. I've been waiting and observing what Andrew's been up to the last week. His absence in actually speaking to me, it's been one of those really intense weeks for the guys that Andrew's working with, because they're all trying very hard, working very hard on making a Side of T series happen for the Galactic Historian.
And a number of other source streams at the same time. We're trying to get all of us presented into a documentary series that shows the human side of us, what it takes to do what it is that we do, and then to share the information in such a way that people begin to understand there's a peaceful way to do this that doesn't involve using the system of domination and control. It's about unempowering the system and putting the power back into your own hands to make your own choices. And that there comes a responsibility when you have your free will, that the I Am Presence is the one is you, the ever-present co-creative moment, is doing the free will actions and is following through with what's known as the hard work. And what is the hard work? Which is cleaning out your own auric field, cleaning out your own mind so that there's not things that hold you into a position where you give away your will to some other sentience or some other system for it to cope for you.
Mm. The material that we're putting forth, you have put forth, that Lance and yourself put forth, all the work you've done last year, the message has been the same, the one you just delivered, and it's absolutely coming out in everything that I'm involved in putting out at the moment. That's the underlying theme. Reclaiming your sovereignty. Now there's a couple of things I'll talk about in a moment. When we start talking about shows that have just passed, shows that have come up, that is absolutely the key to unlocking this paradigm that we're in, moving to something new, something that actually is of the people.
Mm-hmm. And of the people means the people do it.
The people have to do it.
Okay. We need leaders. And this show, for as much as it is informative, it is really meant on a scalpel level to find out who's ready to be a leader. And it's not about truly sharing this particular information or somebody else's. It's about the essence of the message. Can you, as a leader, figure out how to instill inspiration and hope to others so they can reclaim their free will on their own, so you don't step into their auric field and begin making choices for them they may not be fully ready for? And that's one of those tricky things that all leaders have. They find themselves in that savior mode.
I must say, the one of the things that's coming up in conversations on shows that we've been having, Andrew, and I'm referring particularly to the repurposing at this stage, which is one of the shows I do on the other little channel that I've got, One People's Oneness Radio, is that the characteristics of the sort of society that we are headed for is that the leadership all comes from within. Okay, there's no representations in it, no representations of value, which is our current monetary system, and there's no representations of your free will, which is your vote, that you give away every time you vote.
That's right.
And when you do that, that gives the system the power that they require to actually dominate and control. That is the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find that leadership from within, then we have found the new world that we're after. And one of the fascinating things that's going on, Andrew, is that around the because I've been working for many months now with the One People movement through the work of the One People's Public Trust. It's morphed into the One People's movement. What I'm seeing now is we're getting to a stage where people who've been following along that information are really stepping up. And at the right moment, there's actually been a surge to actually confront the banks with many, many things. One of them is the criminality, the unlawfulness of every mortgage on the planet. The other is that they've been actually stealing our value, and that they need to be brought to heel, and that whole aspect of the system transformed to actually serve the people, literally, rather than energy harvesting the people. And they're being directly confronted by people going into banks and saying, "Hey, we know what you're doing, and here's what we know you've been leveraging our value without our permission. We're going to do that now, not you. We're going to offer you a new deal, but we're in charge." And that's people stepping into that leadership role. And I'm seeing it in other areas and some of the other stuff that we're doing as well. There is one announcement I do need to make right at the moment, is that the Facebook page that we've been working on to essentially take to a local newspaper who advertised the CEO of the newspaper, put in a full-page ad in his own newspaper stating that his newspaper, published the truth and they weren't affected by outside commercial interests or political pressures, that they were publishing the truth. So we said, "Thank you much. We really appreciate that message, and we're going to come and see you with some information that we want you to investigate, because if you put out the truth, then there's some more work you've got to do, because you haven't actually hit that nail properly yet." And the Facebook page that we've put up is called People's Media Watch. If you would please search for it on Facebook. What we're doing with that particular campaign is we're going to push this out on the internet to make it viral. We just want people to go to the page. The ad is not very long. There's a piece of text to read there. You'll find there's a button for a poll on the front page. It'll take you to a second page. The text from the ad is there. You won't miss it. You'll look at it and go, "Wow, it's a very strong statement for the CEO of a newspaper to be making, especially with the reputation newspapers have for being manipulated." That's not new. As you read the information on that page, there's a dramatic statement there from a journalist in the 1880s who basically ended his little rant by saying, "We're prostitutes to the money barons." And we're basically calling them out. we'd like you to go to that page, read the information, and vote. There's three issues that we've stated we're going to put to them first. And if you feel that that's what we're doing, is going to the press and putting it to them, vote yes, then like the page and put in a comment. We'd like to go to them with hundreds of thousands of people having voted and liked and commented and say, here is the people saying we want the truth, and it's and round the world, not just from our country where this is all happening. In fact, it's happening in my city, Andrew. This is one of the big newspapers in my town done this. So that gives me and the people I'm working with an opportunity to go and see these guys personally when we've gathered up the information and pulled in essentially what is a vote from the people to say we want the truth. So if you could please push that out on your Facebooks to everybody. It's People's Media Watch. Should be easy to find. The page went live last night. We did have a preliminary page that a few people did vote on already. And if you did vote in the last week, you will have to go back and vote again, unfortunately, because we ended up having to change our polling software due to a technical issue that was occurring on handheld phones. The polling software wasn't working properly on that. So there's only a couple of hundred votes. We're after tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of votes. So I'll just put that message out there, Andrew, and we'll press on. But that's an important one for us here, because the newspaper appears to be a member of a conglomeration of independent journalists that seem to be forming. They have a presence on the internet, and they could be the key to unlocking the media issue from the inside, the blockade on the media information that's been going on.
It has to pop sooner or later.
Mm.
The media bubble, it's the biggest baggage of unsecured personalities that the system of domination control will have to deal with. The military has patriot programming. The government has nationalist programming and separate government entity programmings that are done within the little fiefdoms of government. The journalism, it's its own cannibalistic side. They report because they all agree to report what's being told and to be professional regurgitators. The system has turned over all of its people, the older generations that still had a respect for the news, and the newer generation, which learned from its elders who are in retirement homes now, that the industry itself, to control it on the highest levels, will create things like another Baghdad Bob.
Mm. Yes.
Now, the other day, I mentioned that term to you, and you read about, you know, a particular Iraqi news agency for the state police, state TV, that was saying exactly that the Americans were defeated, that Iraq was victorious, and this was during the Shock and Awe campaign, Bush 2, and all of a sudden an American tank starts coming down the alley and he drops his microphone and runs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's Baghdad Bob.
That is what's being created in our news agencies now, and those news guys know it. All right. Programming or not, they know they're being set up to be a Baghdad Bob.
There was a little piece went to air on a TV station a few months back where there was a news anchor speaking live, apparently outside somewhere, and supposedly speaking to someone who was actually, I think at the time it might have been supposed to have been in Egypt. And unfortunately for the news broadcasters, a bus passed behind this gentleman as he was speaking, and when they cut to the other camera, the same bus passed by the people who were supposed to be in Egypt. They were at two ends of the same car park.
Yep.
It's Three Stooges.
Here's another one for you. Do you remember when the whole big Yugoslavian crisis was going on?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This was many, many years ago. CNN, NBC, CBS, they all said we're in downtown Sarajevo.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. Well, if you read the stuff on the buses, they were in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were standing 100 or 500 yards from the mass graves. You want to know where they were? They were in Greece.
Mm.
And there's multiple angles and footage of these people saying where they were and they weren't. This is common practice. And it just takes the same amount of energy of those people who go to movies and find the slightest little mistake in a movie and then point it out. Are you familiar with those websites at all?
Yes, I've seen them. Yep. And
it's the same thing with the media. They put out such a volume of information, they cannot control their own mistakes.
There's been many photographic frauds going on in it's probably been going on. You could probably go back decades, but certainly people have been right on it since 9/11. There is a piece of footage in the Boston bombing, shot from a building looking down on the street as the sort of aftermath was being dealt with, and there was supposedly one fellow who had his legs, or at least one leg, blown off,
mm-hmm.
and he was being rushed across the street in a wheelchair. Well, and there were a few actual close shots of this guy, which appeared to me to have been taken just at probably a minute or two before this particular bit of video. However, he's being put across the street, rushed across the street by a couple of medical techs, and his other leg falls off.
Yep.
And they put it back on him and keep pushing. Okay, and he was actually an actor who had neither leg. He'd lost both legs, probably working for the military. And he was working inside the organization that stages these false flag attacks. He was a known face, because there are people who follow the false flag things that are going on inside the United States and coming up with the same faces incident after incident.
Right.
You know, some of the shooting, Sandy Hook.
They look same guys, the same mother and father, the kid that was lost. Yeah, we've all seen it.
Yep. And we need to bring it to everybody's attention, because this will crack open the very thin-shelled egg that currently is the media's integrity. And they need to have that egg opened. They need to deal with what's inside.
They need to know.
It's pretty rotten.
They need to know that their vanity is going to be a Baghdad Bob.
Mm. It will come back to haunt them. But at the same time, Andrew, I really feel there'll be people inside the system who need to step up in that leadership role and bring their integrity back to where it needs to be.
Absolutely. Those people are there, and I encourage them to step forward in a way that makes you feel safe, confident, and ready to tackle a set of subjects that haven't been allowed to even be considered publicly.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to just mention, I've actually put the webpage for the Facebook campaign in the chat. I might pop it in there again, because the chat's actually gone down such a long way since then. We're not attacking the Age specifically. We're saying to them, yes, we understand what you're saying. Prove it. And we're also saying to them that if they will step up and print the truth, we are going to ask every person on the planet to subscribe to their newspaper, because they can subscribe digitally or they could buy the local paper. Well, if you're in New York, you probably can't buy their local paper, but you could subscribe digitally. And we're going to say to them, we will recommend, if you'll print the truth, we'll have every person that we can reach subscribing to your newspaper, so your newspaper will survive. And that's the most real piece of support than we can give them, other than saying that we'll be 1,000% behind them. In other words, if they want to stand, if they're ready, we'll stand with them, because we need them and they need us. That's the way this is going
Absolutely.
To have to work.
Not only do we need them and they need us, in such a way that the information we're bringing forward is just a tiny, tiny tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
And I mean tiny, tiny, tiny little tip. It takes a tremendous amount of energy to listen to the information that both me and the other streams bring out. And to just focus on one is a difficult task for many people, but to focus on five. And the true leaders that are out there will figure out how to balance all of those things so that everyone has an opportunity to come forward with their own truth. Because the biggest thing that everyone's going to have to get into, there is not one truth.
That's become pretty clear, particularly in the face of the timeline wars that you've been bringing forward. There are so many realities inside realities inside realities in that. And for those people in those realities, it's all truth for them. And it's just the same, the difference between my life and my neighbor's life. Different realities, different truths. So we have to understand that, as we're looking to understand that from the information that's now coming out. And that is the reality, that there are many, many realities.
There's so many that it's going to take people many months to get used to functioning in one, two, or three, let alone the thousands that will become available.
And as far as the tip of the iceberg for the information, I can guarantee you folks that we could probably broadcast the Great History Show 8 hours a day for years and not get to the end of it. And I don't propose that we do that, Andrew. But the information will certainly keep coming. In fact, we have difficulty deciding on which subject to broach some of the time, simply because when we start going down a particular path, it just grows and grows exponentially every time we start to put forth information. And today is when we get to it in a little while. Yeah, today is the same. By the way, we've got a couple of people with their hands up in the chat. We're going to be taking questions first. So if anyone else who's currently on the phone does have a question and want to raise their hand, put them up now, and in a few minutes' time we'll start taking some questions. So having said that, we'll press on to some more announcements, Andrew. We've got a couple of other webinars coming up. One on the 26th of this month, and another one on the
19th.
On the 19th. Thank you for that. Just looking at the wrong place on my page. Now, the 19th is obviously coming up in the next couple of days.
This Thursday, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Pacific. It'll be Teal Scott, Anelia Benz, and myself, and you, Chris Hales, doing Teal 2, Teal Andrew 2, adding in Anelia Benz. It will be one of those incredible information dumps. Those people that haven't heard the Teal Andrew one, I advise you to go and watch it. It's available on YouTube now. Just type in Andrew Bartzis and Teal Scott in YouTube, and you'll have a link right in YouTube to it. It's a three-hour show, and it is so in-depth in surgically splitting hairs of perception and perspective. It's an excellent view for people to go in and get to some of the harder things that are going to be coming for leaders to deal with. And when I say leaders, those are the people that have begun to challenge and conquer their own paradoxes and begin to put together parts of their things in the multidimensional of the puzzle of who they are, so that the future, the past, and the present can live simultaneously during your moments of infinity being leaders, because there's going to be these moments where you're stepping into power and the dream world's going to be working with you.
That will be extraordinary. So this particular webinar is if you have never actually attended one of these webinars before, it's very easy to do. Sovereignmedia.net. There is a specific page there. In fact, this particular webinar is right on page one at the moment. Plenty of explanation about the people involved. If you haven't run across Teal and Anita yet, there's links to actually look at their work. Both of them have brought forth incredible bodies of information, different to Andrew. They're coming from different places. Teal is spirit catalyst, vibrational artist, medical intuitive. Anelia Benz is, well, described as a vibration raiser. Andrew Bartzis is the vibration raiser, bringing forth huge amounts of Akashic information, and obviously has other interests as well, does do a certain amount of healing, etc. So you've got three people whose task here overlaps significantly, and all three at a really, really high level. I was quite honoured to be a part of Andrew's and Teal's first show. It was an amazing experience for me, and as you'll tell when you listen to it, it was challenging for me as well, just to be in that conversation. Learned a huge amount from it, enjoyed the hell out of the experience, and I'm sure this one will be like that and more. So please join us. And also, the following that, there is another seminar on the 26th. This is outside the Galactic History Shows, folks. That's on the 26th of the month. Again, it's at 6 p.m. PST, this one. And this is going to be quite different. This is going to be a conversation between Dr. Dream, Laura Eisenhower, and Andrew. Do you want to build on that, Andrew?
Oh, yes. 2 weeks ago, was a morning, I did a recording with Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower for their show on Blog Talk Radio. I believe it's Awakening to the Dream with Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower. I give a shout-out to them. It was an outstanding interview. We got really, really in-depth into so many of the subject matters and in only ways that Laura can ask questions. For those people that are familiar with Laura's style, she's a very fast thinker, and she can come up with unique question types very fast. And she was in her prime giving me questions that I answered. You know, for those that hear me, when I get into that flow, it's very unique. It's very palpable feeling, and the entire two-hour show was just filled with that. You know, to be able to have questions that are asked with, like, at the level Chris is asking questions, or Lance when Lance is asking questions, and then to have two people that are you know, very closely linked because of their relationship, you get a set of masculine and feminine questions that just take answers to a whole new level. And it'll be an opportunity for both Laura and Dr. Dream to ask questions on a much higher scale, stuff that they wouldn't normally talk about on a show, or subject matters they wait for, you know, once or twice a year. And this will be one of those big information dump shows.
It'll be another eye opener for, you know, if you haven't actually been exposed to some of the really high level stuff, that'll be very similar in a lot of ways to the other webinars that have happened between Andrew Teal and this one coming up. But it'll be different. Looking forward to it a great deal. Now, there's also a couple of other things to mention. Hosting that particular show just from the sidelines, as an introductory group, there's going to be myself, Hope Girl, Greg Prescott, and Helene, whose surname has just gone straight over my head. Help me out there, Andrew.
Lipson.
I know a couple of Helenes. I was going to give the wrong one. I didn't want to do that. So Lipson, Greg Prescott, myself, and Hope Girl are going to be introducing that particular show. Now, specifically, and I have to say this with a deal of gratitude, the webinar has been set up to help me get to the Return to Atlantis event that Helene Lipson, Greg Prescott, and others are putting on in Florida at the start of October. Now, Andrew, do you want to give a quick description of that event?
Yes, it's going to be Teal Scott, Lisa Renee, Tom Lesher, Dr. Dream, Laura Eisenhower, and me, all giving our you know, event speeches, our event seminar selves up front and center for 90 people that have paid to be a part of that experience. There'll be a giant dinner on the beach, a beach dinner. There'll be a Dr. Dream will be doing his galactivation on the crystal sandwiches of Lido Key. For people not familiar, the Lido Key Island is said to be the remains of Atlantis. The beach there is all crystal. There is no sand there. It has all the crystals have been ground into very fine sand. And the sand doesn't get hot even in the sun. So we're going to be doing a massive galactivation on the crystal sand beaches, bringing the energy of all the presenters and all the speakers and all the people and all the people listening on the live stream to the grid of the earth to help awaken people to say that this is our sovereign free will, to stand up in a high vibration, high spirituality, and to share our soul family energy so others begin in the process of their soul family.
Another really significant event, in fact. Now, that event is going to be live streamed.
Correct. And you and I believe Hope Girl are going to be emceeing the live stream. And you'll be live there, and you'll be able to do interviews with people that during the non-time when the live stream's not busy. So people have a tremendous access to the archives that are already there for the show, the many shows that I've done and in support of putting together this event, plus the the 2 days events of the people actually giving invitations and the side interviews that we're able to do with people who want to sit down with the MCs and just say how the event's going and maybe see people from a different light you would never see them before.
That's going to be a really, really interesting time for both myself and Hope Girl. Really both, we're really looking forward to working together and to meeting in person all of the folk that we've been listening to for years. It's going to be quite the experience for myself. So in part, that webinar is to assist me to actually get to cover my costs to get to the conference,
yep.
All of which will be most gratefully accepted. And we just need to actually cover off, Andrew, on the fact that the Teal Scott Benz Andrew Bartis webinar, one of the reasons to hold the webinar is to fund the campaign for getting Teal's artwork onto buses and billboards across the planet if possible, but certainly across the United States. Do you want to speak to that? Because there's quite a deal of different ways you can support that, all of which are on the webpage.
Correct. If you guys go to sovereignmedia.net, you'll see a link for the Teal Andrew Bartis Nelia Benz show, as well as the link for the first Teal Andrew show. And the original one where Teal was sick and it turned out to be this big brainstorm. We had Blake, Chris, myself, Greg Prescott, Larry Bazell, and we all came up with a series of ways to help change the future outlooks. And this is a subject that I had come up with at putting Teal's artwork on billboards. And from that conversation, it has grown into actually getting billboards, to actually putting together a campaign and a donation drive by doing shows. And this is why Anelia has come out and to join us for this process of raising $10,000+ to put billboards here in Los Angeles on the 101 freeway, as well as buses and taxis in New York City. And any extra money we make on this consciousness, first strike expression of peace, love, unity, and harmony through the expression of vibrational artwork can be to newspapers that are going out of business. You can have back page or middle page or even front page ads for less than $200. And it can be networked into as many as 7,000 county or local based newspapers. And this concept was discussed thoroughly for about 40 minutes. Both Teal and Chris on the last webinar were discussing how these energies will interact, how they'll change the future, how people will begin to have their own change of energy understandings.
Very significant thing. If you haven't seen Teal's paintings before, I've just put it into the chat. It's on www.thespiritualcatalyst.com/paintings. Very unique artwork. It's in and of its source, Andrew, I believe it's Arcturian. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct. She's an Arcturian being.
She's an Arcturian being. And these paintings are, in fact, speak directly to the human consciousness. And
right.
You won't have seen anything like them before. They're very unique. They're the ones that she has a collection of several hundred of these. There'll be a selection of those prepared and printed at large sizes for use in public to people's consciousness simply by observing them, which is a fascinating concept. And the idea of raising people's consciousness by publicly doing things like this is going to become very important over the coming months and years.
So important that I can't even begin to describe that an event like this would have not been allowed to take part 10 years ago. Even 5 years ago, they wouldn't have allowed this event to occur, let alone to get into the on-air discussion stages of putting artwork on billboard.
And there's many, many other subjects that are actually the same, Andrew. The sorts
exactly.
of conversation
from the One People's Trust foreclosing on the corporate government. You know, it's been done before, but it's the first time it's been done in the internet information age. So you give everyone there the credit for having the balls to follow through in the face of threats, because they've all been threatened in their own way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. Then this is a case of people stepping up and being leaders yet again. In fact, one of the things that occurred to me a week or so ago was if you look at the sheer amount of human thought pouring out of radio shows like this one on the alternative media compared to the number of hours of and quality of human thought pouring out of mainstream media, I would say there is more coming out of the alternative media at this stage. Just the sheer number of radio shows, the number of hours per day, per week, per month, with human thought, positive thought, thought for change, thought that, that reveals things that have been hidden for millennia. This thought is pouring out into the collective. What we're seeing now is the sum total of the effects starting to become visible across the planet. And if you haven't, and I'll remind people of this again, if you haven't seen this, there is a wonderful visualization on a website that you can find at the moment, and I'll put it in the chat in a moment, but I do want to read the title of it because it's quite easy to find. And it's the title of the website is, looking on my list here, I can't see it. It's a visualization of, that's what it's called. It's got rather obscure title. It is stunning animation of every protest from 1979. If you Google that, stunning animation of every protest from 1979, it's a world map showing little flashes of light as it scans across the years. In a timeline showing the increase of public demonstrations and the acceleration in the last 10 years of the graph. Starts in 1979, the last 10 years, you want to see it. It is amazing. Don't for a minute think there's nothing happening on this planet. What you're watching is a visualization of human consciousness lifting, of human consciousness actually accelerating, waking up. And it's expressing itself in many, many different ways. And one of them is the desire, the capacity, the sheer balls to actually get on the street and get in front of the system and say, we're not going to have it anymore. And what I'd like people to do is spread that far and wide, put it right out there. It's actually one of the most extraordinary things that I think I've ever seen as far as a graphic demonstration of how consciousness is lifting on this planet. And that's what the billboards are about, what these competitions and radio shows are all about, lifting human consciousness.
Absolutely. And when we bring together three people like Anelia, myself, and Teal for a concept like putting together the billboards, the amount of ideas that come after that is going to be its own mind-blowing thing. And that's where we hope the rest of the leaders step up and listen to these various shows and realize there may be one two-minute statement in there that means more to you than to others. And that two-minute statement can lead you into inspiration, and that inspiration can lead you into creation. And in your own pure creation is where you get to express your free will and connect to those people that are waiting for you to step into leadership, because that's where you're contracted to come from. That's what your soul's here this time is, find those 19 or 95 or 9,000 or 900,000 people that connect to your soul through your expression, because they've been leapfrogging in experiences throughout this world with you.
And throughout time.
And throughout time.
Extraordinary. Well, Andrea, we've got four people here with their hands up. Are there any more announcements that you need to make?
We've talked about the
webinars and
The 26th and the 19th and the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Both you can get information on sovereignmedian.net about that, as well as you can go to in5d.com and invite events and find out about the live stream that we're doing October 4th to the 6th in Lido Key, Florida. From that, I believe we have everything.
We've covered everything. There'll be another Galactic History show. This is Tuesday in the US for Andrew. It'll be another one on Thursday. In between, I've got the Long Conversation show happening tomorrow with Julian Wells and Anoka Shiva back on both. It'll be a repeat of last week's in the lineup. Julian always has fresh stuff to talk about, but this week I'm going to overlap them. Anoka's a man who's spent a lifetime studying and participating with alternative, small alternative self-sustaining communities. an extraordinary amount of experience. I'm going to overlap them because he's got some questions for Julian's contacts, the Pleiadian group, about community and about how they actually handle various aspects of it. So we're going to overlap a lot of human experience with some experience that isn't from around here. So that should be a very interesting conversation. We'll see where that goes. So that's happening tomorrow, and that's on my channel, which is One People Oneness Radio. You'll find that on Blog Talk, and the show listings are on that main page. And I think that's probably all we need to announce at this stage, Andrew. So shall we move on to a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Area code 321, could we have your name and your question, please?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Marissa.
How are you?
And I have a good. I'm from the Netherlands. And
welcome.
Thank you. And I'm in Florida for this time, and I saw a few days ago through Alfred Brabbel on the Facebook page Andrew Bartswit's material. So I'm really excited.
Were you looking at the 20 episodes from the Galactic History?
Yes. And
yeah,
I sent it to my sister.
Those are making it around now.
Excuse me?
Those videos are really starting to make it around.
Yeah, and I have my sister in the Netherlands. She has Spiritual Ritual Cafe, and she has well-known speakers coming from the States, and she has a website, and all that information I sent to her. So right now you're on the website. I'm spreading the word, you know.
Yeah. Melissa, that's the best thing that you could do. The information that Andrew's brought forth to everybody, and look, it's not just Andrew, there's other sources coming out with some stuff that we really need to hear. But Andrew's, in terms of volume and content, are very significant. Have you actually looked at all of the interviews with Lance White, between Lance White and Andrew?
I'm already following some on the YouTube interviews, mm-hmm. from different kind of people like Revolution Radio and other ones. So I'm just discovering Andrew. So I'm like in the middle of it, you know, to try to find out more answers.
Yeah, there's a series of YouTube videos between Andrew and Lance White that were done in Chakra. Mount Shasta earlier this year, and
yeah.
There's 20 or so of them. They're all about 20 to 25 minutes long.
Yeah,
so
I saw them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the sort of material to push around. That's the best thing you can do. Spread it as far as you can.
That's what I already did. Through, you know, it goes to Holland right now. If they don't know about it, they know it now because there's a lot of people watching that website.
Well, you have the Galactic Historian here. Would you like to ask a question?
Yes, please. I'm so excited. My voice is shaking. I don't know if Andrew still does mini readings.
I don't do readings on this show. This show's just for people that want to ask the Galactic Historian questions.
Okay.
And I do readings for via teleseminars. I have not scheduled one for this because I have a tremendous amount of webinars. But I will post the next set of teleseminars for readings, which there'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that are waiting. So people just have to be patient as I start getting through all the requests.
I do have a question.
Sure.
A few months ago, like 2 months ago, my sister, she had a clear dream about me that I was, like, she saw me as a 12-year-old with blonde hair by a beach where the mountains are, and she saw me making movements through the flying dragons. She said, you have a knowledge that you forgot about. And then when she told me the story, when I was with her, two dragonflies come and sit on my shoulder. And I also follow the Silver Legion because I know Tanat is also connected to the Dragon family, but I try to find out if Andrew knows anything about, you know, like a dimensional beings that is connected to the Dragonfly family.
The Silver Legion and the Dragon family are two separate organizations, and they're both in a process of trying to control one another because they're both very powerful organizations. They're, for lack of a better word, they're both mercenary units. Now, here in our world, when we say the word mercenary, that means they're for hire by any side. But in this terminology, they're not for hire by any side. They're for hire for those that are coming out of domination and control and want to free specific bloodlines so they can return to their original status, so that they can return to their original migration patterns. So it's about a group that comes together for specific purposes to make sure that a soul lineage is not derailed during the awakening process of coming out of domination and control. And our world's not the first world to come out of domination and control. There's been thousands and thousands and thousands. And this just happens to be where all the best guys in domination and control went. So all the best people that are from the 17 universes are here specifically to bring out certain parts of DNA lineages so they may return to their natural migration patterns and not hijack to go to another planet before they return home. That's the best way I can describe them. But they're separate families, separate organizations, and in many instances they do not work together because of a significant amount of head-butting or chest-butting in other systems of domination and control that are coming out. Also, the Dragon family has some significant corruption to deal with, and the Silver Legion went through their corruptions several hundred years ago. They had to purge their own units, and this is what's going on for the Dragon family. They've been part of the system of domination and control, and inevitably when you're that close to it, you get some bad seeds.
Oh.
Andrew, the systems of domination and control in this galaxy, they're not all part of the one that we're in. There are others. Can you put a number to it?
Say that again.
We're inside a specific version of a system of domination and control on this planet. And you've said there are thousands of planets that have come out of domination and control systems, plural. How many different sets of beings are there exercising these domination and control systems?
Thousands. At one point in time, just before 2006, 2001 to 2000, there were as many as 800,000 worlds spread throughout the universe that were in domination and control.
Wow.
It's been reduced to about 8,000 now in the local part of the universe.
Is that simply a natural progression in our part of the universe?
It is a natural progression that's brought on by the collective consciousness that's taking care of reality destruction events, where creation became uncreation through the use of timeline wars, timeline genocide, which affected the DNA lineages that was being traded for a wide variety of galactic levels. You know, if somebody needs your DNA to save a species and that DNA is wiped out of the creational record, how can your species go on and be healed?
Indeed. But it,
or if
are systems of domination control similar to this one in the way that they work multidimensionally?
Similar in scope, but not in scale and size. This has been the best of the best of the best of the best came here, and they're all competing to be the best. The other worlds were triple-A grounds, double-A grounds, you know, the low end of the baseball stadiums, you know, the kiddie leagues in some scenarios. There are beings that can start a domination and control on a planet that it's really easy to do. To sustain it for thousands of years is the difficult part, okay? Because a lot of these beings that go into domination and control planets, they do it for very selfish reasons, and that is because they couldn't figure out how to properly do their own ascension process to get to a sixth-dimensional being with all the rights, duties, and responsibilities into it. And they'll go into domination and control so that their ego is hurt the most. So when they begin to resolve contracts with the planet that they're dominating and controlling, that planet will heal them, and then they owe a significant service to the galaxy, that solar system, to repair the system of domination and control, which is what many of the entities that are here, both light, dark, and neutral, have to do. They'll have to guarantee migration and DNA lineages that will go on and heal the Earth for the purpose of them being in service to this world.
So the difference between what's happening here and elsewhere is literally the sheer scale of what's happening. And the scale of time, not just the scale of control.
Correct.
Then the other aspect too that you've mentioned a couple of times, but I'll bring it out because I think it's important, is you spoke of light, dark, and neutral. And you have brought forth the fact that what's happening here on this planet is actually going to present the universe with a fourth option.
Correct.
Do you want to describe that option just for those who haven't yet heard it?
It's literally in its creational phase, honestly. And as we graduate here, there's going to be another audit. Mm-hmm. And that audit is, what did everybody learn before they returned to their home migration patterns? And that will break down to an essence that will be distilled into a light, dark, neutral essence, and that light, dark, and neutral essence will be mixed with a brand new DNA skin suit that will be able to control its experiences different than this human skin suit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, I'm saying our skin suit technology is the Porsche, and much of the other skin suit technology in the galaxy is the low-end, you know, $1,000 beater car.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a hybrid of a not necessarily luxury car, but economy, efficiency, with all the power windows, power brakes, power steering, high efficiency gas, and they'll be able to go from experience to experience to experience and have DNA built inside them that prevents reincarnation if they're on like a backup system built into the DNA, so they can't be pulled into domination and control without all of their free will present, or more of their free will present. It'll be very difficult to mine free will from people in those types of scenarios, and there'll be a great many deal of people who want to go into that because it's the body they go in to heal the soul.
Interesting.
It's the last for a lot of souls that have post-traumatic soul disorder.
Well, there'll be many on this planet who have that. As you've said before, that this planet requires many billions of healers to undo the damage that's been done over the millennia on this planet to people at soul level. Now, the other question I had for you about that was this is really a question coming from me. The idea that there's been light, dark, and neutral, if you want to call them factions, I suppose you could, but you call them perspectives in this galaxy for a very, very long period of time. And what I'm getting from that is that they really didn't overlap, that you were either light, you were either dark, or you were neutral, and they were steadfast in maintaining that perspective. Is that an accurate observation? Okay. Which makes the fact that we look like we're going to graduate with aspects of all of those things unique.
And more. And because there's going to be things that we discover as we begin to put our individual puzzles together and start sharing them with the whole. And the whole is the unity consciousness coming together. Because there'll be a while where unity consciousness will be maintained by a series of band-aids in the dream world that keep people linked.
Mm-hmm.
And as people begin to heal their bond with the Earth and get stronger in unity consciousness, the collective will be sharing with the individuals in semi-unity consciousness and semi-disunity the pieces, parts that make sense. And as things make sense, you'll put together gigantic puzzles about what it really means to be free now.
Mm.
In the Teal show, both you and I and Teal discussed, what is freedom? And if you've never experienced freedom as a soul before, how do you go about experiencing it?
Mm. Exactly. The way Teal put it was, I found very interesting, that the domination of control system, what it's really doing is limiting us to to one perspective, that is the perspective of the domination and control system. You remove it, and what we have on this planet fully are, you know, 7 billion odd perspectives. And no limitation on perspectives. And, you know, that literally is, you know, you could say, well, the universe is your oyster is another way of putting it. But that was her way of expressing freedom, the freedom to actually have entirely your own perspective and, you know, be completely justified in holding that and able to actually express it as a local reality if you so desire.
Exactly.
Melissa, that's probably a very long answer to your question. Hope you enjoyed that.
I probably have to, when it comes out, I have to listen to it because, you know, to download everything. But I have one more question, if it is possible. One small question. You know, ever since a few weeks ago, I started seeing orbs in the sky and also in the house. I see it on the wall. And I also start seeing, you know, when you talk about spiritual awakening, you see things are changing around you. I also have it where when I close my eyes, I see eyes of aliens. So I don't know if Andrew can tell me anything about the spiritual awakening part, where you go through something that you don't understand what it is.
You're going through an awakening.
Yeah. But what is that with the orb?
My advice for you, you're awakening, you're seeing energy. And my advice for you is to turn off the computers, turn off the routers, turn off everything wireless, and go sit in nature and begin experiencing. You have to, when you're being shown that type of stuff, you have to have the sovereign free will in your heart space to say, I know this is real, and I want to share the experience on a deeper level. So it requires you, the I Am Present Self, making the decision to have the experience without fear, limitation, or recognition.
Yeah, I have no
give yourself the, give yourself the experience then and say, I invite the experience.
Yeah. I think that I'm excited to see all that because it only tells me that what I know it's coming to see before my eyes. So it's true that we are in that process of awakening because I see the change around me.
Mm. Yeah, I think we all do, Melissa.
Yeah.
Melissa, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
It's led to another very interesting little exchange. I'll pop you back on hold, and we'll see you some other time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Andrew, we'll press on to one more call, then we'll take a break.
Okay.
Would you rather take a break now? Because we're right just before the hour.
Let's take a break now. I want to refill my coffee and head to the restroom real quick.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we'll play a little four-minute song, one of my usuals. Really like to hear it. In Reverence by David Tolk, which is just over 4 minutes.
All right.
We'll see you shortly.
Be right back.
Thank you.
And we are back. Andrew, with us there.
And I am here. I just had myself muted.
Excellent. Welcome back, everybody. This is a Galactic History Show with Andrew Bartis. I'm your host, Chris Hales, in case you've joined us during the break. And we're talking Galactic History, many things, and as usual, I'm anticipating the next hour we'll be covering anything. We'll go straight back into questions, Andrew, unless there's something that's jumped up in the break.
I just wanted to talk about the Galactic History shows, episode 1 through 20. Just so people know, we recorded in Stewart Mineral Springs, and it says when and where we recorded them. I want people to start, that are regular listeners of the show, to start paying close attention. You know, I describe what would happen in Syria, word for word for word, of how the system of domination control would present Syria. This was June 20 to the 23rd that we're recording these. So it wasn't hard to show the predictability of the system because it had no choices left to do but play out its final hand. And when you have a group of people that are multidimensional timeline viewers, everyone does every hand.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes, it would be a case of sitting at the poker table knowing what the cards are.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Exactly. You have infinite beings using a finite deck of cards.
In fact, do you see that they've got any choices, you know, post-Syria? Because Syria will ultimately, you know, come to a halt. What will they do? What do you think?
I'll tell you my perspective. Syria has reached a point where it can no longer be sold as propaganda to the Arab world. The Arab world is not listening to it anymore and is looking for sources that can basically satiate the thirst for different knowledge, and they're doing whatever they can do on the internet wise to prevent them from getting to work as Alfred Weber, myself, you, the OPP. They're preventing ways for people sharing that types of information. The Asiatic areas, the Philippines, the islands, the coast of China, which is different than the inland, they're trying to do the same thing, prevent people from getting out and marching, prevent people from getting out and finding the information, and then stopping source streams from being locked in their own countries.
There must be sources of information inside those countries coming online and starting to spread thought on the internet as well. That is in the Arab world, in the Asian world. Can't just be coming from English speaking Western civilization.
Correct. I have been waiting for a long time for a Chinese Anilia Benz to step forward, or a Indian Teal Scott to step forward, or a Muslim Tom Lesher to step forward, a Muslim Lisa Renee. Okay, where are the other ones? And the answer is, their individual systems of dominant control don't let them speak on their individual reality levels. So the Muslim reality, the Asiatic reality, the Russian reality, those are all in deep conflict with the system of domination control that when the early 1900s was gigantic, it had as many as 500 million people within the system who knew what was going on, and by World War II, that 500 million was reduced to 200,000. On purpose, an actual program to eliminate that large volume of those in the know.
Again, the First and Second World Wars had so many agendas going on.
Yep.
It was because we have touched on the first half of the 20th century. We did a few sessions on that. I'd like to continue with the second half of the 20th century, but I'd also like to remind people that we're just brushing the surface of history when we do these things. But I'm not surprised to hear that was a specific objective of that part of the 20th century, because there seemed to be a if you look at the book The Wizard of Oz, which was really a complete metaphor for the banking system trying to take over the American the American financial system, which it actually succeeded in doing, sometime after it was published, 20, 30 years after it was published. But that reflected a lot of knowledge inside the community about exactly what the banking system was doing. I think it was far in excess of, until recently, what's been happening in Western culture. That knowledge was sequestered away, and the internet, as you pointed out earlier in the show, is what's made the difference, because that information has been discovered and retransmitted to the collective on a very large scale, and there are tens of millions of people who now are aware of this information. I don't know if we've hit the 500 million yet, but I think that's just around the corner, actually.
It's just around the corner, is right. And actually, the one other thing that I did want to touch on was these galactic history shows, their view counts are going through the roof. People are sharing them. I challenge people again to go and find a spot that you like and go to your movie maker and cut out a two-minute section and put on your social media, your network, something that means something to you. Any of these other galactic history shows, if there's something that made a difference to you, cut a snippet out. Even if it's a 9-second profound statement or a 90-second or a 2-minute or a 5-minute explanation, I encourage you to get people to be leaders. Find out what connects to you. In that 20-hour, those 20 interviews, explain everything from the big picture perspective. And then the 90-plus hours that Chris and I have done since that time, because just after we finished recording there, beginning of July, Chris and I started to do the Galactic History Show 4 days a week, and we did 4 days a week for nearly a month and a half before we switched to this two-day-a-week schedule, because we needed to get all of the other volumes of information out. For all you bloggers out there, start putting together your top 10 list of quote Chris or Andrew or Lance quotes. Be leaders. That's what I'm asking. This is the material the regular listeners like. Form another Facebook group that's about sharing just those things so that you can create a whirling dervish of sharing on other channels for people that haven't been exposed to this information.
It's every time you do that, you cannot overestimate the effect that pebble in the pond actually has. Because I have people contacting me over, as Andrew has pointed out, over just certain little things that they ran across which were so profound it's actually shifted their consciousness.
Right.
And, they've gone through literally another stage of awakening. Because awakening happens in many, many steps. It's like walking a long set of steps. And essentially, the information that's being put forth through these shows is a whole lot of steps. Particularly the discussions between Till and Andrew, for instance. I've had again Andrew people say that they've had to listen to that several times. They fall asleep during it, but they do get it in the end.
They get it in the end. Mm. That's the key. What you get out of any show, my show, Chris's show, Helene's show, Dr. Dream's show, whoever's show, Coast to Coast AM, whoever's show, you're getting something out of it. You are putting together part of your own personal multidimensional puzzle that helps you understand why you're here right now. Why you're here has a purpose behind it. But if you don't know even the big picture, your purpose can be limited because you don't have the rest of the definition. And by people coming to this truther movement from whatever angle it is, it's so you can look at your own personal hairball, giant hairball of existence that you've been stuck in here or not stuck in here or been here with a conscious knowledge. It's for you, the I Am Present Self, to begin to pick that hairball apart and find out what's real, what's a tangent, what's something you don't need to deal with until the end, what's something you need to deal with now, or what subject matters are putting you into the creational process so you can help others unravel their hairball. Your hairball may be very easy to unravel. You just may need one piece from one person that proves to you that Atlantis and Lemuria were real enough because of your dream experiences when you were a kid. There's so many people out there that just from my reading shows found themselves fully activated with their past lives because they heard a description from the sacred neutral Akashic record that put a series of mental memories in motion to them that were waiting for something to have the vibration and intonation with the earth being spoken over open airwaves. And that's not just me. Every single person in the truth movement finds their heart and their voice in alignment with Earth Mother at some point in their career.
Mm. Sorry, I was just completely absorbed in what you were saying, Andrew. Because when Andrew did a reading for me some months back, and there are certain parts of it which, excuse me, there are certain parts of it which, if I sit and recall, I have actually a visceral reaction to them when I think about the information. So it's one of those, receiving information like that is very profound, and it will actually pull things together in unexpected ways, very unexpected ways. So, Andrew, let's press on with some calls, if you're ready.
Sure.
Okay. Area code 586, could we have your name and your question, please?
Hi, you guys. My name is Teresa.
How are you?
I am great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good. My question is, I wrote it in the chat room a couple weeks ago. I was wondering what your perspective is, Andrew, and also Chris, on the ringing in the ears. There's some people that say that that's a part of the matrix, the control, and there's other people say that that's the higher vibrations. I was wondering what your take was on it.
I've actually talked about this quite a bit. The best way to describe it is you have different kinds of ringing in your ear. If you have ringing, let's say, that starts in your right ear but is on the lower part of your earlobe, like if you have to know the center of your ear where the ear canal connects, and if it's on the lower part, like where if you had an earache, it would be lower in, it would be a high vibrational being in communication with different parts of you, and it's offering a time that the I Am Presence You can be a part of a telepathic communication group, something your higher spirit and dream body already rarely does. It's just giving an opportunity for you, the I Am Presence, to have more experience. If it's on the upper part of the ear, on the right side, it is the system trying to block out that telepathic communication. If it's on the opposite side of the head and it starts at the top of the ear, it is generally something within your own brain that's trying to cross a barrier that you've created. So it's a way for your higher self to talk to your lower self, but your lower self has set up barriers, and it'll try to go through those barriers, and you'll have a hairy high-pitched or low-pitched. And on the opposite side, if it's on the lower part, you have a lot of things going on there. When that part of the brain is activated, there are already multiple entities that are in communication with your dream world. Through agreements, these are positive or negative entities, it depends on what your agreements are, and they can activate the other parts of the earlobes to begin a high frequency, low frequency blast of energy at you to scare or move out other entities, which can be a big setup for both good and bad scenarios. So you have to realize our human ears are targeted frequently by etheric technology, technology that communicates at a telepathic soul level, but telepathy does have a measurement in our ear range because our ears can hear spiritual language and spiritual intonation, so they can hear telepathy. That's the best way I can describe it. And if you have a direct access hearing to the brain, you have a direct access to creating influence over the central part of the process before the soul comes in and interprets. You understand what I'm saying there?
I do. Thank you so much for that clarification. I really appreciate it.
I have recommendations for anyone that's going through any parts of these processes. And it comes down to putting a crystal behind your ear. Okay? Now, there are people that say, what about wearing diamonds on your ear pierced ears? They don't work. When your pierced ears generally do not work for taking care of this type of scenario, they actually amplify it and make it louder. So what you can do is you can find a little crystal, you know, double terminated, or one that's been through a polishing thing, so it's kind of an odd shape. It's really about the size. And you go to where the bottom of the earlobe touches the jawline, and there's a tuck space in between where the thickness of the earlobe is, and you put it down low. Unless you have the sound up high, then you put it on the top side of the earlobe, just like you'd stick a pencil inside your ear. And you can get a little medical tape and just hold it there and leave it there. And then about when you're done using it, wash it. It's important to wash those crystals. It's extremely high vibration right there. And you have multiple transmission centers from your own brain. And you can bring yourself back into tremendous spiritual balance by working with the ear and the jaw.
Wonderful. Thank
Interesting.
You. Yes, I hadn't ever heard you say anything about it. I've listened to a lot of, you know, the interviews and a lot of the information. And since it's been happening a little bit more often, I really wanted to get some clarification on that. And I'm sure I'll listen to this again. Thank you. Thanks for all that you
You're
guys
welcome.
Do. I really appreciate it.
You are most welcome, Tracker. And I have a couple of follow-up questions, Andrew, on that, just while we're on the subject of things that you think you hear. There are folk around the planet who seem to be hearing a distant low humming.
Yep.
That seems to be unrelated to the phenomenon you're talking about. And there's also the phenomenon that I get, which is actually white noise, sometimes called tinnitus, inside my head, rather than feeling it coming from the outside or being transmitted to the ears. Do you want to comment?
Yep. What you're talking about, the tinnitus and the high energy, that is actually a high energy being that's trying to prevent hijacking of your mental personality. It's putting a high frequency into your brain's neural pathways so that a lower quality signal can't be inserted in there and you get used to it. It's a way to ensure that you stay who you communicate to, who you're in high vibration with. It means there's thousands of entities that are working to protect your crown chakra, your third eye, your throat chakra, your heart chakra from conscious influence on-world and off-world.
Interesting, because I get that a lot.
Right, and that's because there's thousands of people that are in love with your soul, millions and in cases billions, because you're fulfilling your soul purpose in a way that makes your soul, the Chris Hales of this lifetime, feel as comfortable as possible, all of the ranges of information that he's presenting in accordance with other people. Because you have to be able to work together in this time, and if you don't have that work together energy in your soul, you'll find yourself an ego, and an ego you won't be able to go on.
Okay. I'm not sure what to say to that, but If there truly are beings out there that are helping me to you know, literally continue this work, I thank you. I've always found it rather irritating, because it's loud. It is really loud sometimes. I can barely hear myself think, but if it's part of the process, then no problem. So be it. It's what I'm here to do.
My advice for you is when you know those are coming on and they're going to last a little while, look at what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing, and it'll show a pattern, because it means you're going from a vibration state where you're existing in third dimension, and somehow, some way, you trigger the four-wheel drive so you can function multidimensionally at the same time you're functioning as Chris.
Mm. Interestingly enough, it happens. It can happen when I'm tired and relaxed, you know, when your mind is starting to relax. Maybe that's part of it.
After you do Tai Chi with your master?
Or yes, it does. And also after if I do a long period of work, because some of the work I do is very intense. I work for hours on highly technical stuff, and it requires a great deal of focus. And I do reach somewhat of an altered state during that. And kind of when I step away from it, I'm still in that altered state, and as you let go of the work, but you're still in that altered state, the tinnitus kicks in.
Right. And that's telling you there's a tremendous amount of beings protecting you to be in that high energy, and they want to have communication with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the white noise waiting for you to click on the little mic and say, Chris Hales here, who's over there.
Well, okay.
It's an invitation for you to begin to speak to your aura so that that aura isn't white noise anymore. That's when you get the opportunity to use your intonation and vibration to say to your auric field, we no longer need white noise. And that's what triggers your third eye to really do what it does. Your third eye's main purpose is to be a projector, not a perceiver. Our five senses are the perception. And these five senses work together in this multidimensional scanning system that looks at reality, like the computer in front of me or the building across the street, and gives that a reality. But there can be many layers of information on top of this building, on the cell phone next to me, to Chris Hales on the other side of the world. There's all information in between that. And your third eye can fill in all that information so the I am present self begins to understand the reality.
Okay, so if this is something I need to work with, is it simply a matter of acknowledging that that process is taking place?
Saying
I'm ready for the next step. What's the best way to approach that mentally?
It's when you announce your I am self. You know that all of a sudden you feel the tinnitus kicking in, or you know it's going to kick in. At the time when it's kicking in is where you do a contract invocation. I, Chris Hales, the I am presence, mighty I am presence, co-creative, procreative, interactive, interconnected being that is in the here and the now, begins this opportunity to share my experience with those high energy vibration beings that are sharing this awakening process with me. Mm-hmm. For those that are of my highest order, I open a spiritual court of equity so I may find understanding and wisdom within the message. Mm-hmm. And from there, you invite your ancestors and those that want to begin communication to you. And the ancestors will be the membrane, and the membrane, how the message comes to you, so you're not channeled. It's coming from your DNA lineage, who are with people that are already in communication with these different high energy sources, which are generally your past, present, and future lives. In your case, your past lives, in which a Venusian philosopher that you were 550 or 300 million years ago was capable of seeing himself in time, a different world, in a whole different universe.
Hmm.
Okay?
This process must be, this particular process you're talking about must be happening to many other people as well.
Millions.
Okay, so if folks out there, if you get what I'm describing, which is like your mind fills with white noise, then you too are, what Andrew's describing happening to me is happening to you too. And the words he just gave us are your words too.
That's right. Your words too.
Mm. I've had this a long time. Always, in fact. Never really knew what it was about. Never had any explanation from the medical world that could tell me what was going on. So I do thank you for that. That is really profoundly welcome information.
Well, the medical world can't deal with spiritual data.
Mm.
It doesn't have anything to do with it. And in fact, that tinnitus, whatever you want to call it, is actually measurable. There's a book out there called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And this book was written in the early 1990s, and this is the actual book that kicked off the entire genre of a holographic world we live in. I highly recommend that people go and find this book and read it. And you'll find actual scientific data from multiple college sources that can measure the vibration of the upper ear and the lower ear of different types of high frequency, low voltage, low power signals being broadcast from the ear and into the ear. And they are an omnidirectional broadcast to human beings and from human beings, which takes the human resonant frequency explanation to the whole new level.
Excellent. Okay. Well, yet another big information dump. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll take another call here. Area code 612. Could we have your name and your question, please?
Hello?
Hello. Welcome.
Oh, sorry. I never get the luck to connect to anyone on anything.
Today's it, so go for it.
Okay. I had an odd question. Is there any link in the Akashic Records of someone very much connected to Mother Gaia that mysteriously turned evil and got split up?
Hundreds of them.
Hundreds.
You're referring to the Lilith thing? The vast majority of the sacred feminine stories that show a sacred feminine going into destruction are stories that were imported here to change the experience by fooling people into going having those experiences on their own. There was a massive need to get the powerful, powerful sacred feminine women of this world to be gullible enough to give themselves bad experiences for extended periods of time. So they installed sex slavery industry, they installed prostitution, they put in everything that could take away from the sacred family. They conquered the family, conquered the man, you know, everything, so that the women would go and have those experiences on their own and would not be bonding with the Earth Mother and going through the menstrual cycle in communion with their own, so that they can resolve spiritual issues, healing issues, psychic defense or warfare issues. Earth provided everything for them through the sacred feminine connection through their womb gate. So there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that are like that. Oh. And it's because they imported these stories here to make us believe that.
Well, I have an odd situation, which I kind of have secrets I can't say over the air for the safety. But my husband had something like that happen to him. And then he had a link to the 14 and some odd, and between him and you, I had odd synchronicities in reverence to the control rooms and the fact that I told him that there was 14, but he was able to figure out that there was 14 and some odd.
There's 40 control rooms, actually.
Well, it was two different things, but I had some odd synchronicities between what you said and what he said, and I guess one day if we were alone, I'd elaborate, but I really can't on the air. So
I understand where you're coming from. You're not the first person that has called. See, for protecting you, I'll limit what I say. Just go back and listen to this in the future at some time. Mm. There's 40 control rooms.
Yeah.
Each control room connects to another layer reality of Earth, and there are 1,832 layers to Earth. Each layer has a different set of number of control rooms. For Earth to be in unity consciousness, all the different layer control rooms that are functioning with the human-specific DNA and graduating timeline need to be in the unison unlocking phase. So it's many layers. So what you're experiencing is putting together the puzzle for the layer of reality that you're functioning on multidimensionally.
Yeah. Well, my husband has the ability to create things with energy, but it only stays as energy. The only reason I had a synchronicity there was because I was telling him what you were saying about Mother Gaia, and he said, well, that's odd, because if I create, I stop at X amount of control rooms because then it becomes its own life.
Okay.
It was an odd synchronicity, to say the least.
That's not the first person that has told me that. Honestly, you're living on a land that is working with ancestors that you haven't functioned with and he hasn't functioned with in many, many millions of years. So there's a tremendous amount of spiritual energy in the land that you're on connected to ancestors who are desperately in need of leaders to step forward on that land and to be creators. Because it is like like a steam engine about to explode on the land, and every time he goes through a creational process, he lets off the steam valve. And there's this pressure release of creation and creators and experiencers is vitally necessary. Vitally, vitally mm-hmm. necessary.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
I did have one other one, but it's obnoxiously short. I have myself problems dealing with love and forgiveness. And I, at this point, I'm not even at the age of 30. And I have lost every blood relative I'm close to. I lost my grandmother this year. And I am kind of looking into getting certain sets of stones to help me. And I tried rose quartz, but it didn't quite do the trick. Amethyst isn't quite right. There is a stone out there that I feel like helps more for forgiveness than love, but I can't quite pinpoint it.
Forgive, compassion, and love are the hardest lessons in the fear processing, limitation processing, and expectation processing of reality control to one to go through. Compassion comes from the heart. It doesn't come from a stone. Forgiveness comes from the soul. It doesn't come from something acting as a medium for that. So you're the one that has to begin it. The stones just share their experience with you. What they do is add their energy to the experience, and their energy is, we encourage you because we have confidence and faith and trust and love in you from the Earth Mother, so it's a connection to the Earth Mother, so that you're having roots into the Earth sentience so you can go through the healing process. Getting at to the root of why you have a tough time with forgiveness, compassion, and love is too about understanding who you were as a baby. Like, were you delivered as a C-section?
I have no idea. I have no relationship with my mother. I have a rather short and tragic life in some aspects. But specifically for me, I have a hard time forgiving myself.
Correct.
I've had many a messed up situation in my life. I can't forgive myself because it's not even my fault, but I introduced my grandmother to this lawyer, and turns out this lawyer was preventing me from coming down to take care of her. And so I actually am physically punishing myself by eating bad and by picking on my hands. I physically, last week, have realized that I'm actually punishing myself. And it's kind of annoying.
You are gnawing on the energy of someone else. It's like beef jerky of this person's energy, and you're just chewing on it, right?
I don't know.
Well,
see, she...
No, it is.
My grandmother...
I can hear it in your voice. I can hear the betrayal and pain and everything in your voice. And when I look at your specific energy field, I ask myself two questions. When is the last time you looked at yourself as an energy body? And two, do you have the skills to see that?
I can't see. I was given the gift of sight, but I returned it because it was quite very scary many years ago. But there's your answer.
If you had those skills, that person wouldn't be in that situation that you put them in. That's the root of your issue. How do you return it to yourself through compassion, forgiveness, and love, and that the experience is compassion and forgiveness and love and not torture? It's a vision quest for you, literally a quest for vision, clarity, illumination, understanding. So my advice for you is pilgrimage to a place of power. Do you have any extra money? Do you have a power
not
place
right now.
Close to you?
Some point next year is a big year for me. When they close off their estates, I'm going to be doing a fair amount of travel. But at the same time, I'm going back to California because that's where I was born. And I returned back there last year, and it's just so much different than Minnesota. But
what part
at the
of
same
California?
Time, SoCal, Southern California.
Okay.
I've never been to Northern Cali. I might make a trip to Mount Shasta, see how that feels like, but at the same time, I'm I am for sure going back to Southern California, and I just, for me, I want to go back to Venice Beach. There's always been something about Venice Beach I love. It's the different energies, the people, the everything about Venice Beach. There's always something special about that place for me.
And yeah, and that's where I'm at right now. Ironically, that's where I'm at right now, Venice Beach.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to be. And being in Minnesota,
it is
with the land of temp.
It is.
Yeah,
there are a number of very high energy portals here in Venice that make this area very interesting, and it has a unique collection of individuals.
Yes.
Creating
very
individuals,
much so.
Creators. Yeah. Actually, I have a little bit of advice for you. I don't normally want to make this show an advice show because this is about galactic history. Though I may end up rebooting a reading show. I've been tremendously busy trying to get all these props and all these other radio shows done. My advice for you is you need to start a purging process, a spiritual one and a physical one. How you go about doing that is going to be your personal choice. But my advice is to do the easiest way. Don't do the hardest way every time. It requires to fast. So instead of doing a full seven-day fast, you're going to go to a local area and you're going to get a colonic. And you're going to make sure that you go multiple times so they get you up to 2 gallons or a gallon and a half of water. So they clear your entire colon out. And then you're going to go and do a fast. A juice fast is fine. 3 days is fine. But during that fast is where you have to figure out in meditative expression how to begin to let go of other people's energy fields. It's you're sharing energetic underwear with them right now.
I can see how that is.
Okay, and we are a telepathic species, and you have the telepathic gene inside you, and it has been active for many years. You're just not the presence awareness to see how it goes 100% active. There's habit patterns in you that are subtle energy things that go on where every day you'll build up to a point where telepathy will turn on, but the I am presence you doesn't know this internal clock, and it just turns on during the experiences you are not expecting it to turn on to. And then you just absorb who they are and bring it inside you, and your body has nowhere to store it, so it goes inside your intestinal tract. And then it stores in the mucus layers there. And that's where your dreaming body is stored. So your dreaming body gets clogged with this energy and gives you very strange dreams as you're trying to resolve other people's energy.
I have very strange dreams. My oddest one is I am in school and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, or space dreams in which the oddest one didn't make sense until you said something earlier this year where I was on this planet and it was moving around and it was larger and it was moving different places.
And it is. This planet actually can be in many places at once, instantaneously, and that's its actual original purpose. So again, start doing a colonic fast and figure out how you can sense your telepathic energies turning on. And that's the first part of your vision quest. And the second part is go to a place of power and repeat what you just learned. Can you figure it out when your internal spiritual timing turns on your telepathic skill 100%?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll have to absorb some of this. It'll take time.
Yeah. Let me give you one more piece of advice. Don't wait to next year to do this. This would be like a equivalent of a person who has a best-selling book about the transitioning and awakening of our world, and it's not written until after the transitioning and the awakening of the world.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to do it before the transition and before the awakening. And Faraday's Thanksgiving to Christmas is going to be Three Stooges-esque. There'll be a lot of comedy.
This next year is going to be crazy busy with a lot of news. I can feel it in the air.
Yeah, that's why you want to do it this year, the purging this year. So next year is a whole new experience, free of all the weight.
Well, I'll have to process some of this, but usually that takes a few weeks for me. At least to know how I feel about something.
There you go. It's nothing more than purging your gut, and you can do that at home. You can take a laxative and sit down both for 6 hours, and it'll be done. And I hate to be as vernacular as that, but it's important
that action comes. It's fine. I took massage school and everything, and I ended up getting kicked out. Well, I wouldn't say kicked out of it. I kicked myself out of it because I developed fibromyalgia, and I was under too much stress.
Because you were absorbing the energies of others, and you didn't have the coping skills to get the energies off of you. Yes,
well,
and that's why I'm saying action for you is how you clear your fibromyalgia, how you clear your energy field, so you can be aware of the subtle energies that are working on you, and then develop skills
this,
that, you know.
I did this really closely once before everything happened with Nana, but I am going to get back into it. Ultimately, what I did was I stopped eating meat because energy cannot be destroyed, it can only be transferred. So all our produce, all of our chicken, all of our beef is treated badly, which means it would have a negative charge to it. So when you eat it, it basically lowers your vibrational setting. And started just eating produce.
You can buy regular beef, and I've had many, many vegetarian people tell me the same experience, that an animal that dies horribly, it's reflected in the meat, and I agree with it. I've tasted the difference between animals that are properly slaughtered, and yes, it does cost more expensive. And you can still eat meat, and you're going to have a very, very tough time being a vegetarian.
I will.
I'm going to give you that.
I know.
Start
drinking
cheese or fish. Don't torture yourself.
I will for a little while. I know myself, but I won't let it go on for too long. It's all right. I'll let you go.
Don't let the flogging whips make you bloody.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
And best of luck with that. Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Andrew, there's been a question in the chat there for a little while. The significance of the womb chakra's opening last week that you reported in the Middle East. Just wanted to have you re-express the significance of what that means.
The womb chakras that are opening there, that's it's not fully open. It's about 65 to 80% open, and it's based off of the positive and negative flow of polarity that's going on with our macro world government in a system of domination and control, trying to resolve a large volume of internal disputes. And these internal disputes are about theft from thieves.
Hmm.
Okay? And this is the macro, the upper etheric worlds, playing out into our macro-micro world, the highest end of our world. You're disabling domination and control, which means you're looking at it at the systems layer, and you're looking at it at the reality rule layer. And there are thousands of beings that are rewriting the reality rules. And a series of rules have been slyly rewritten that the system of domination control's own definitions are turning against it now. And there are a tremendous amount of energy beings that hold the system of domination control together by being bonded to sacred geometry buildings that are not honoring their contracts anymore, not holding energy to transfer to the system. And this is representative of the different banks that are willing to tell the truth, because they know that if they don't follow the order, they get kicked out of the universe. They get told to go to another universe, and that was not part of their experience.
Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why one of the many reasons why the war in Syria is going on at the moment is to try to suppress the womb chakra openings,
correct,
the shift that's going on.
Correct. It's to prevent Earth from having a full menstrual cycle, which is where all 200 womb chakras open up in a series, in a pattern.
Mm-hmm. How would we, what would we experience if that happened tomorrow, for instance?
Dreams. Your dreams would expand manyfold, and you'd rapidly begin to resolve your paradoxes with the Lemurian or Atlantean timeline genocides. You'd rapidly understand, you'd have an old-soul review on a dream time level, where you would be able to have a life review of every life you've lived in this universe and other universes, so you can understand the totality of the decisions the I Am Presence must make when you go back to few time in no time, and you begin cycling through the process of 2011 to 2014. And then when the 2014 process is done, you go through another review of what you went through to get through what you went through. And that's middle of 2014, end of 2014 to 2017, which is the second layer of the macro dream world that makes sure everyone is informed of their choices from the highest to the lowest vibration of each individual multidimensional entity that is a part of this galactic ascension machine, which is going to be broken up. And those planets are going to be sent back to their original spaces.
So the whole process, the whole dream time aspect of this process of awakening is actually going to build as the chakras open.
Correct.
So the significance of the womb chakras opening is actually huge.
Gigantic.
Pivotal. Thanks for the question, Martha. I hope that answers it. Yeah, someone put in the chat, it sounds like DNA activation. Well, that actually will be part of it.
Your DNA has already been activated. Let's call something different. When DNA is activated, what's it actually doing? What's its action? It's combining with other DNA remedies already inside your infinite strand of light body DNA. We're projections into this world right now. We came to a fetus. Where is our soul residing? We're a multidimensional being. We're giving I am presence to here, to now, to me. But there's still an I am presence somewhere else doing the same thing because we are multidimensional beings. You can't get to this world without being a multidimensional being. If you are a single-dimensional being or a polyhedron-based being, one that only uses geometry for energy form, you can't fully exist here. You have to multifunction. That's the whole point of being here. Earth's dream time is linked to the dream time sentience of millions and millions of other worlds because of these womb chakras. Earth's purpose is very specific, and people are going to be coming back to an understanding of why Earth is a seventh dimensional galactic seed planet. And the resolution and remedy of the time wars and the domination and control here on this world was to know that we have a massive responsibility because of all the dream worlds we're linked into. So it requires the best of the best of the best to step forward as leaders. So those that are in education of what Earth's true purpose is and how much respect one must have for the responsibility of power here so that domination and control does not reoccur. So parasitic entities cannot challenge creation itself and create uncreation events where people are locked outside of time. And once they're locked out of time, their experience outside of time doesn't count as experience in the universe. And all those Lemurian and Atlantean species who are locked outside of time, the trillions of them, they're about to come back into creation. And creation has to create the fourth perspective so that their story is told as creation, not as uncreation.
That is a download. Okay. Andrew, the next person I'd like to pull in has been hanging on for quite some time, so I would like to do that. We have about another 6-7 minutes of discussion left, just to give you a framework of time. But I'll pull in area code 702. Good morning. Could we have your name and your question, please?
Yes. Hello. My name is Edvige. Nice to meet you. As I'm listening to this, I'm pulsing and vibrating. I was in Lemuria as a priestess and given codes. And
yep.
The awakening for me has been very awake, literally hands-on with me being touched and brought to the Council of 12. And
yep.
There's a lot going on right now. I'm having difficulty speaking because I'm really pulsing and vibrating. And I hold
a particular
code.
I want you to rub your earlobe with your free hand. That'll help reduce the vibration that's coming into you. Your adrenal glands get activated at times when you're in these high vibrations, and by rubbing your free earlobe, you'll be able to relax some of the adrenal gland activation. Also, where your jawbone connects to your head, that's another place to get to relax for anyone else that's out there. So tell us, the Council of 12.
Oh, my goodness. And so with the information that I have been getting and messages and signs, for example, the other day I found myself in a field, energetically speaking, as a multidimensional being, and they started to speak to me, telling me that I would be going beyond, and that going beyond, I would be bringing back this knowledge and information. I'm just putting all of the pieces to these puzzles together because, like I said, I was in Lemuria, I was Atlantis, I was an Inca priestess. I've been priestesses lifetime after lifetime holding whatever these codes
are. That's
because
you are 1 degree of separation of the 13 grandmothers of Earth. All right. When they're saying you're going somewhere, in a Dreamtime format, you are going to be finding a brand new blank Akashic record world, one that has DNA relations to a soul family that was brought into the Galactic Ascension Machine that was a major source of positive and negative drama. And that soul family wants to have their own homeworld back that was destroyed, that was wiped out of reality. And they're going to begin the recollection of the soul family, and you're going to be leading a migration as a 13th grandmother, as a 14th grandmother, who's going to take the light of Earth and transfer all of this soul family to that blank Akashic record world to be the founding ancestors of a new world.
Wow.
It's a big responsibility, giant. But it's in your dream world. All that knowledge and wisdom of a priestess is so that the ceremony of this new blank Akashic world adopting this soul family as its founding species. Gigantic healing for both that new world, that species, and Earth.
Is there anything that I need to be doing now other than being this space of love?
Preparing yourself ceremonially, create ceremonial garb, create ceremonies that honor you, the person that's doing this great honor for Earth, pray out loud, and begin the multidimensional you, the I Am Presence, to be the person that has learned why you were a priestess in all those lifetimes and why this lifetime was a reflection of that, so that you can be a hybrid of all of those ceremonies.
Okay.
You're the ceremonial contractual holder that's going to do the ritual in dream time that bonds this soul family with that blank world. But no, you're not doing it alone, because there's going to be a tremendous amount of other sacred feminine women that are in that soul family that are going to become the founding 13 grandmothers of that place. And when you're done there, you will return to Earth and then do this again with another group that needs to go to another world to do the same thing that first time. And then you'll return home, and on your third one, you resolve your oversoul's greatest situation, where you'll be starting a brand new solar system, and you will be part of a founding true group of soul families who create a brand new sun, who will invite graduates from Earth to make brand new planets, to take care of the massive amount of incoming migration from other universes. And Earth will have a litter of planets, and many, many, many people will take over as the sentience of Earth as it duplicates itself many times so that it can continue its process of seeding new galaxies with life and DNA wisdom around its open womb chakras.
Wow. That's just amazing. I had no idea of the immenseness of it all, you know.
Don't let over the I Am Presence. Welcome it. Say in this moment, I accept in the I Am Presence infinite.
I accept in the I Am Presence infinite.
The infinite. I co-create with the Earth.
I co-create with the earth.
I am in communion with Earth's dream time.
I'm in communion with Earth's dream time.
I'm here to be of service.
Oh, I am here to be of service.
With the age of my soul.
The age of my soul.
Acting as the beacon of direction.
Acting as the beacon of direction.
So all may find remedy and resolve.
So all may find remedy and resolve.
And so it is.
And so it is. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Advaish, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Okay, Andrew, we're down to a couple of minutes left. We should probably just say to people, hold over questions till the next show. Perhaps we should do some more questions in the next show, the start of the next show. There's still
maybe we can make Thursdays an all question show, because I have the Teal show that night.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to ask questions, take care of all the extra call-in questions, we'll post a we'll figure it out when we do our post show.
Yep, no problem there. Well, quite a show there today. It's been the usual extraordinary range of information from one end to the other. The information on the webinars at the start, spread that around, folks. Need to keep the information moving outwards, flowing out to where it needs to reach.
Go to sovereignmedia.net and it gets you all the information.
Exactly. So, Andrew, is there anything you'd like to summarize with for the moment? We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go.
You broke up there. Say that again.
Do you want to summarize any messages you want to actually put out there at this end of the show?
Summarize. Stand up for your rights.
Yes.
Listen to some Bob Marley. Stand up for your rights. Like, that's my image. That's my sum up that I leave it for people. Come Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's going to be Three Stooges. So it's time you take it to a new gear. Put in the four-wheel drive and be the multidimensional being in yourself at the same time.
Yep. Off the street and into the streets, but peaceful. There's going to be some discussion over the next few weeks about how you actually do that. What does it mean to hit the streets peacefully? Because we really need to get our heads around how that can be done. I've got a word to put in people's minds. Flash mobs.
That's right. Flash mobs.
Flash mobs. Brilliant. If you're not familiar with them, hit YouTube and look up flash mobs.
Yeah.
In particular, there's one that's my personal favorite, Andrew, which is an entire symphony orchestra appearing in a square in Spain and doing a performance. Fantastic.
Wouldn't it be special if somebody did a mass flash mob contract revocations on a particular building, like a media building, like the CBS building or the CNN building, where suddenly 1,000 people show up and start reading a contract revocation to all the media people?
Perfect, actually. Perfect. Okay, but this is probably a discussion we can partially hold in with Teal and Anila, because we'll be speaking about publicly shifting consciousness, and what you just said is a big one, a very big one. That will be a conversation to look forward to.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's it for the show today, folks. The next few weeks, the next few months are going to be absolutely pivotal on this planet, and one of the things about flash mobs, Andrew, is they're fun. I think we need to start having a bit of fun with this as well.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Because we're going to look back and say, gee, we took it all a bit too seriously. So let's get some fun injected now. Let's head that comment off.
There you go.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll be speaking again on Thursday US time, starting at the same time. I've got one show in between, also at the same time tomorrow, The Long Conversation. So join me on One People, Oneness Radio. And we'll see you next week. Well, not next week. We'll see you in a couple of days. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for all the listeners. Cheers.